Shannon Fulton is an Illinois State University graduate who has thrown her lot in with solar power big time. Her El Paso area home gets power from the sun, and she joined the company Straight Up Solar 3 years ago. The former Redbird basketball player says she first became interested in using the sun as an energy source far away from her central Illinois roots.
I really began to have a passion to build solar systems in developing countries. And in order to do that, I knew that I had to retool and develop a really deep knowledge of solar technology in order to be able to improvise in the field in a country with fewer resources. My first career was in geology, geohydrology, and environmental consulting, and it wasn't until really later in life, when my daughter was heading off to college, that I decided I wanted to do something differently. And I came back to Illinois State again. It had served me well during with two earlier degrees, and I came back to retool in renewable energy. ISU has a wonderful renewable energy program.
Can people actually benefit from putting panels on their roofs?
Absolutely. In Illinois specifically, we have, in addition to globally the cost of solar technology dropping markedly over the last decade, very strong policies that make renewable energy, specifically solar and wind, very worthwhile in the state. And on a homeowner level, solar technology is available, and it has additional federal tax incentives and local solar renewable energy credit incentives that bring the costs down by a combined about 50%.
So where do I start? How do I make the leap here?
Simple internet search. There's a lot of good information out there. And there are solar installers in the state that operate throughout the state. I work for a company, Straight Up Solar. I opened an office for them here in Bloomington about a year ago. And take a look at your electricity bills over the past year. Estimate how many kilowatt hours, that's the unit of energy that people purchase to power their homes.
It's the basic measurement that the utilities use, right?
That's right. That's how you're charged for your electricity. It's one way that you're charged for your electricity. Get an understanding of how many of those kilowatt hours you use in a year, and then speak with a solar installer, and they will help you design a system that offsets your electricity use at whatever percentage your roof can supply and your budget can support.
So this would be a hybrid solar traditional power marriage that we're talking about between the traditional grid supplied electricity augmented by the solar panels on one's roof?
Yes.
How does that incorporate? How do you make the switch back and forth?
The vast majority of solar systems across the world really are these what are known as grid-tied systems. The components are simple and very few. You have your solar panels, you have your inverter, which converts from DC electricity to AC electricity that can be used in the home, and this system is interconnected into your loads panel, your service panel with all the breakers. And the electricity that you produce with the sun is used in the home first. And any electricity that you may need in addition to that, for example, at night, that electricity comes from the grid. And you have this what is known as net metering agreement with your utility. When you need electricity, your meter runs so that you bring in electricity from the grid. When you produce more electricity from the sun than you use in your home, the bidirectional meter goes the other way, and you push electrons out to the grid, and
now,
you get paid for them.
If I were a power company, I would not be in favor of that. I can see money going out the window. Do power companies have to accept something like this?
The investor-owned utilities, the big guys, they are required by law to offer net metering at a one-to-one retail rate. This is the case in most states in the U.S., however, the smaller utilities, we have the co-ops, the Corn Belt Energy, we have 25 different co-ops throughout the state and municipal utilities. They're not required to offer it. However, the vast majority of them do. They see it as a good service and a good agreement for their members.
How much does a system cost? Let me back up. First off, what size system does the average home need?
The average home uses around 12,000 kilowatt hours in a year. That translates to about a 5 to 6, what we call kilowatt systems, 5,000 watts, instantaneous power production. The language of solar does get kind of in the weeds very quickly, but just to keep it pretty general, this is about 22 panels, 22 solar panels on a roof. Cost of something like that, if you estimate just very generally, about $3.50 to $4 per watt. This is how these systems are sized. The basic cost for a system of that size can be around $40,000.
Now, you said earlier that solar panels were getting more and more affordable. Is that a trend that you believe is going to continue?
I do see it continuing. I think it won't probably be as marked as we've seen in the last few years. It is starting to level off a little bit. However, that price will continue to drop as what we call the soft costs become streamlined. As solar becomes more and more mainstream across the country, the costs associated with permitting and interconnection will also become streamlined. And that's where the cost reductions are going to continue to happen.
So it's sort of an economy of scale type thing here.
Yes.
We're talking with Shannon Fulton, who lives in the El Paso area. We're discussing solar energy in your home. What's an acceptable location for solar energy? Anywhere on the planet's surface?
Well, ideally, on a micro scale, the best location is on a south-facing roof at about 30 to 35 degrees here in this part of the country. And one myth about solar, especially in Illinois, is that it doesn't work here. Well, in fact, solar outperforms Miami in August. There are certain features about the technology that make a solar panel produce at its highest on a very cold bluebird day in the winter.
Oh, we get those.
We get plenty of those, right? It's a wonderful technology here, and it works quite efficiently. Now, of course, in the Southwest, you have less humidity, you have longer sun hours, and of course the technology works better there, but it works really finely in Illinois as well.
Once I've installed these solar panels, net metering means that I won't need to purchase storage batteries, is that correct?
Well, net metering really provides an opportunity for the solar homeowner to bank credits if they end up producing more electricity than they use. So you get to apply the kilowatt hour credit directly to your bill. And the utilities roll that forward if, for example, you've produced more electricity in the month of September than you needed to use. It rolls to October. And like I mentioned earlier, 90% of the systems installed in the world are these grid-tight systems. However, as the cost of battery technology also continues to drop, and as more and more research and development is happening, batteries are becoming more accessible to people as well. As a company, we are seeing many more inquiries about battery storage systems.
Battery storage is the key to so many aspects of alternative energy. Is that the next big technological breakthrough in solar power, the new batteries, or is there something afoot on the panels themselves that's going to be changing as well?
We're seeing quite a bit of improvement and focus around right now. I see the battery storage as being a key element in the next decade.
Sometimes the more exotic batteries use rare earth materials in order to help them work. You have a degree in geology, which is pretty handy. Does that undermine the environmental benefits of going solar if you're tearing up the earth to get at these rare elements?
The vast majority of solar cells are made using silicon.
Common.
Very common, very abundant and available. And there are recycling facilities that address the disposal aspect of solar panels as well. So I think that's being handled on both ends. And with regard to the battery technology, I'm not necessarily a battery expert. However, I do see leaps and bounds being made, especially by companies such as Tesla, to continue to develop that technology.
How long does a solar system last? How rugged are these? What if I have a hailstorm?
These panels are typically tested to 1-inch hail at 50 miles an hour. And these tests are conducted by the manufacturer using steel ball bearings. They're not manufacturing hail. They're using something that, a testing procedure that's pretty robust. And the other really beautiful thing about solar technology, as opposed to maybe other types of renewable energy, is that these systems just sit up there beautifully on your roof with no moving parts. There's nothing to maintain, with the exception of the inverter has a fan in it that keeps it cool and the relays cool. And so there is a replacement need after about 12 years on the inverter that converts DC to AC electricity that can be used in the home. Otherwise, these systems are essentially maintenance-free.
Do you have solar on your house, Shannon?
I do. We just installed just under 10 kilowatts of ground-mounted solar at my home, and I get to see it every day when I'm coming and going, and I'm just really excited. And honestly, though, I have been studying renewable energy since 2009. There's nothing like having solar work for you to really learn about its benefits. And there's certainly behavior change, even in someone like me, when you do finally get solar. Your behavior and how you use energy changes. Naturally.
Because you have a personal stake in it, do you think that's the reason?
It's in mind. I physically see it every day, and yes, it wasn't free, right? So there's a significant financial investment that we made, and you want to maximize and optimize that investment. And your behavior change and how you use electricity, what types of bulbs are in your home, when you use appliances.
When you turn off computer monitors.
That's right. When you turn off computer monitors and you walk through the house at night and you see all those little phantom lights, that's the behavior change that we see even in this company. In almost every case, we see behavior change after the fact. Even in those that are just completely motivated by environmental reasons, we see a reduction in overall electricity use.
Your interest in solar power was sparked because of the situation in countries where there really is no grid, there is no power, and you've been trying to get solar power units to these places. How are things going on that front?
Really wonderfully. I work with an organization known as We Care Solar. This is an organization, a nonprofit based in Berkeley, California, and they provide the solar suitcase, it's called, to provide lighting and emergency communication in maternal health clinics. And so, as we know, babies come at all hours, and if you don't have light, some of the easiest to address complications become really extremely difficult to deal with. This organization was finding that mothers and babies were dying of complications that could be addressed with just a little bit of light. And midwives in these countries were delivering babies using a cell phone held in their teeth. They have cell phones, but they don't have light. So this organization builds these what are known as solar suitcases and mounts them in maternal health clinics. And I've been to several countries in Africa and recently to Nepal to install these systems.
Where does the organization get its funding?
From grants and foundations, primarily. Laura Stachel, one of the co-founders, was recently a CNN hero. And so they have quite broad appeal and work very hard to raise funding.
Shannon Fulton, member of the Environmental Entrepreneurs, Director of Business Development, and you have been with Straight Up Solar since 2013, the Director of Illinois Business Development. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jim.
I'm Jim Brown.